Hello, and you're listening to the very first seasonal soundbites on Leeds Student Radio, and I'm Charlie here this afternoon for a sort of midweek afternoon seasonally inspired pickup show. The theme is sort of summer losting, and just thinking back maybe to summer, it seems a long time ago now, but also we've got a feature coming up which is very definitely autumnal themed. I went and interviewed two guys. They wanted to come to the studio today, but they couldn't make it, unfortunately. And they went on an exciting autumnal mission to rescue cauliflowers, of all things. So that's very intriguing. Definitely stay tuned for that. But I think coming up next, we've got Prince.
We don't need no clouds, no.
That was Prince with Clouds, the Ash Reynolds edition there. We don't need no clouds today anyway. Okay, so coming up next on Seasonal Soundbites, I've got an interview with two lovely boys who went on a mission to save some cauliflowers. Basically, you'll hear a little bit more in the clip I'm just about to play, but they spent their last Saturday on a trip to Lancashire and they went to a massive farmer's field and rescued about, I don't even know how many, 400 cauliflowers, which are just going to be left there to waste in the field. So I thought it was quite apt, seeing as we're Seasonal Soundbites, to have a little chat with them and find out some more about what went on, as you're just about to hear now. Okay, so I'm here in the Brudenell Social Club this evening with Ollie. Ollie, can you say hi?
Hello.
And Jack over here.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about, well, we came here to talk about cauliflowers. We've had a little bit of an interlude just as I've arrived here. Do you want to explain some more, Ollie?
My band are playing tonight at the Brudenell in the games room, and we've just been told by the band who was appointed tour manager that we can't play with our full band setup. Because it's supposed to be an acoustic act supporting, and basically, yeah, just we got told the wrong thing. There's too many middlemen, and now we're trying to sort it out. That's the bottom line.
So that's the gist. And Jack, how do you feel about this? You don't play in the band, do you?
I don't play in the band, but you know, I've been carting this stuff around for long enough. It's that idea that this guy won't meet in the middle, a sound tech or whoever he is, a tour manager. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, and I won't get into the politics of it because I shouldn't really. But yeah, it's nonsense. And yeah, for a gig at the Brudenell, there shouldn't be so much animosity. But these guys seem to have brought that, unfortunately.
That's really unfortunate. Does this happen a lot, Ollie? Have you experienced this before?
I haven't. And the thing is, the band are really cool and they're really nice. It's literally just the guy at the top who's in charge of them who's causing these issues purely on like a pride basis, I think, because there's no problems with what we've bought and what we can do with the equipment we've got. It's just him not wanting a full band on before them. That's it. So it's a shame because the band are really nice.
And what's the name of the band so our listeners can check them out?
Yeah, well, the band are cool, so don't have any prejudice against them. But they're called, well, it's a female singer from London called Annie Eve.
Annie Eve, that is everyone. So there's quite a lot of frustration here this evening.
It's okay, it's fine. No, all the frustrations are out.
Until we get onto the cauliflower.
Yeah, let's move on to the cauliflower then. So you guys went on a cauliflower crusade. When was it? On Tuesday?
It was on Saturday.
On Saturday. Yeah. Can you explain how you heard about this? What exactly you were doing with cauliflowers?
Okay, well, in this particular case, it was cauliflowers, but basically this organisation called Feeding the 5,000, they organised a trip on Saturday in the Lancashire countryside near Preston, and we all went out, and there was tons and tons of cauliflower just sitting in a field, and they weren't going to be distributed or used for anything useful. So Feeding the 5,000... call up these farmers and ask if they can come and collect them, basically. Otherwise, the cauliflowers or whatever veg it is will just get ploughed back into the ground and won't be used for anything edible, that's for sure.
Wow, and Jack, how did the mission go? Can you sort of tell our listeners a little bit more about how you went about this or what happened on the day?
Yeah, it was great. So we were picked up from Manchester Piccadilly, driven in vans over to the farm, given a knife each, and we just went at it. That was it. We were shown briefly how to cut the cauliflower from the stem. We took the outer leaves off, put them in a crate, and that was it. That was our objective. And you know, within an hour and a half, we'd filled one van. 8 or 9 people filled a van with cauliflowers, and we barely made a dent on the field.
Who else were you doing this with?
Just other volunteers. There was a lady called Corinne Bell, who's part of the Real Junk Food Project in Manchester. And yeah, people from Fair Share, which it was this particular branch in Manchester, and Fair Share took us out and they lent us the vans and everything. And yeah, it was, to be honest, we were the only people from outside Manchester. We travelled from Leeds. And yeah, it was, you know, there was a few young'uns like ourselves, but there was a lot of adults too.
How many cauliflowers did you rescue?
Okay, so as I was saying, 2.5 tonnes, which... We're talking hundreds, aren't we?
Yeah.
Six crates full. Maybe, I don't want to guess too much at it, but 400?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just endless. We were just doing it,
yeah,
you know, consistently for about 3 hours.
Where do the cauliflowers go? What happens to them now?
So they all went to Fair Share in Manchester, and Fair Share are involved with different organisations that basically aim to support people who are vulnerable. So it ranges from homeless people to elderly people and shelters and things, and you know, they get all the food that they collect and they distribute it out equally between all these different organisations they're involved with. You know, prepared the meals and things, and it's not just, you know, a big cauliflower soup or something. It's like the cauliflower gets added to all these, it gets spread out to different places. And we, the ones that we took back to Leeds, we donated to the Real Junk Food Project in Leeds.
Brilliant.
And yeah, so Fair Share know what they're doing in terms of, you know, where to put these things to good use.
Yeah. Did you keep any cauliflowers for yourselves? Do you have you been living with cauliflowers for the past few weeks, days even?
So actually tonight, you know, the pre-gig meal was supposed to be a cauliflower curry. We had.
Is there still going to be a pre-gig meal?
Yeah, we
if
did.
The gig is in question itself.
We did have the cauliflower curry.
It was just a bit rushed because of, yeah, we needed to get down here, and then it didn't come out quite as it should have, but oh well.
But we've still got three left in our fridge, and the night we got back, I went round, I gave your house.
You did indeed. You did indeed. And, that's still in our fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Got about
and you saw the size
left.
Of it. You saw the size
huge,
of it.
It's huge. Absolutely huge.
And well, yeah, we should mention the main reason that
needs to be mentioned.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Like the reason that they're still in this field, and the reason the farmer couldn't get rid of them, was because they were too big for supermarkets. The standards, like
really,
yeah, the standards they have size, shape, and color regulations.
Yeah,
color. You know, they were too. The shade was wrong.
Yeah, absurd.
Too dark, weren't they?
I think they're too dark. But you know, you've got one in your fridge, and you've seen that they're beautiful.
They're
absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful specimens of cauliflower.
Yeah, and the fact that they're too big, it's just absurd because the supermarkets kind of claim that they won't sell as quickly because people feel that they can't eat the whole thing because it's so big. So they just want to rule that out before it even gets to the supermarket. They're like, oh no, we won't waste those big cauliflowers, you know, because our customers won't eat them. But at the same time, they're doing exactly that, and there's acres of farmland with just these rotten veg.
Are there any other vegetables out there to be
absolutely consumed? Yeah, yeah. I mean,
is it just cauliflowers?
Or no, not at all.
At the moment, if we're talking seasonally,
yeah,
cauliflowers are prime season.
Yeah, I mean, this is just at this particular moment, but any fruit or veg you can think, I mean, fruit as well. Any fruit or veg you can think of, you know, will have its when it's in season. There'll be tons of it getting wasted, and all you have to do is go on the Feeding the 5000 Facebook page, and every week they're posting a status. You know, they have a lot of people based in Kent who are always out gleaning. One went out, some people in Bristol, the same weekend, I think, went out and got loads of apples.
Brilliant.
I saw that, and in March this year, I did this again, same people and everything, same farm actually, I think, and we got Brussels sprouts, and we got like about two tons of Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter what, you know, and then in fact the same day we actually, so we were doing the cauliflowers, and then we got a call from the farmer who said that he had you know, crates of potatoes that were too small to be distributed, so they were going to get ploughed back into the ground as well. So we made a little detour, we filled half of one van up, we kind of halted the cauliflower mission and drove to his farm and just got crates and crates of potatoes. You know, I'm talking, I was in the crate lifting them out, and there was still, it was like
that's
a potato
so much
bath
food, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, and yeah.
Jack, have you been gleaning before? Was this your first time?
This is my first time gleaning. It was incredible. It was that idea that, you know, just a Saturday morning we did it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We weren't doing anything else.
Yeah.
We were out with new people, doing something that was novel to us and helping out a little bit as well. It was just great to be out in the air, glorious day. Yeah, it was a fantastic experience, and I'll gladly do it again.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, people talk about food waste, and everyone agrees that it's a problem, but until, I think, doing something like this, like, you know, going out and rescuing waste, fruit and veg, you know, firsthand, and seeing a field of crops, and it looks, you know, we arrived, it was like, oh, wow, you know, he's got loads, that's great, like, so which area are we working in? It's like, no, this is what's left. It's like, you serious, this is, like, I thought this was the whole produce, you know?
Mm.
And that's just the extras that don't want to be distributed, just, you know, they don't want to distribute purely because of paperwork, essentially.
Yeah.
Which needs to change. A main problem which kind of prevents people from doing this kind of thing on a regular basis, is that the farmers generally don't want to know about it. You know, it's just part of their daily life. You know, they have all this waste food. They just plough it back in or give it to the birds or whatever. You know, they leave it there for a while. And if anyone tries to intervene, it's kind of, they don't want to get involved. They don't want any outsiders coming and telling them what to do. From what I've heard. But these particular farmers that we had in these cauliflower fields were really, really willing to participate. And, you know, the farmer's son came over and he was really helpful and just basically told us why they weren't being used. He wasn't necessarily agreeing with it, but he was like, you know, we have to make a living and this is what we're told, so we can't ship these cauliflowers out. We just can't do it. So he came over and explained and he showed us which ones were rotting and how to tell, you know, immediately, just so we could be more efficient and get good ones. So that was really cool. And then his father as well, Peter, he was a lovely man. So he called us about the potatoes and was really willing for us to go over and get all the potatoes. So he actually called us up and said, look, you've got your cauliflowers, but do you want some more, you know, of these potatoes? Yeah. So they were really helpful. But that's the problem. It's that a lot of farmers don't want to know about it, and they're very rude from people that have... Because I know people who call these farms up and try and get these trips organised, and a lot of farmers just don't have the time of day for them. So.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's where the charity comes in, isn't
it? Of course,
it?
Yeah, of course.
Completely.
Yeah.
Do you have anything more to add, Jack?
Yeah, well, there are reasons for it, of course. There's the cost effectiveness of leaving the stuff in the ground. You know, it doesn't make economic sense for them to pick it up. And then also liability, you know, if somebody gets injured on the farm and then presses charges or whatever. There's tons of reasons why farmers can be reluctant to do it.
Yeah.
But the idea of gleaning is that, you know, villagers of a village would go onto the farms and pick up the crops together. That's what it was all about. It's going out as a community into the community to get food for the community. And, you know, if that were to happen once more, if people were to do that, the small villages around the UK, it'd be a small difference, but, you know, lots of small local action eventually would affect a bigger change, you'd hope.
How can people find out more if they want to go gleaning and they want to learn more about
So they can go to the Facebook page for the Feeding the 5000. I think they've recently changed their name to Feedback. So Feedback, you type into Facebook, that comes up. But they still mention the Feeding the 5000 on their page. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they've changed the name recently, but so Feedback or Feeding the 5000, just Google that. And just follow their page, and they're always posting, you know, like weekly or you know, daily, with all sorts of activities that are going on up and down the country. It's amazing that it exists, but it's not amazing that it has to exist.
Yeah, no, definitely, you know. Definitely. Guys, thanks so much for talking to Seasonal Soundbites.
Not at all.
And let us know all the gig proceedings that happen.
Yeah, well, there you go. Annie Eve, we'll see how it goes.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Thanks.
That was Ollie and Jack talking to me last night about their cauliflower mission. When I actually left the Brunel Social Club, they were feeling pretty dejected because their band didn't get to play in the end, which is really sad. But if any of you were interested in finding out more about what they were talking about, it was now called Feedback, we think. Yeah, as I said, because the band didn't get to play at the Brunel Social Club, I thought I would play a track from Annie Eve. It's not quite the same as playing it live, but this is for all the cauliflower crusaders out there and any other vegetable savers. This is Ropes by Annie Eve.
Sometimes it feels like the best thing that you did was leave. Sometimes it takes up all I have inside to sleep. And I know you'd never hurt me without cause, but I can't grasp what you won't allow me to hold. Now it seems like we need more than just one night, but it's not right, so I won't stay. Ropes around my insides, he holds me so damn tight. I don't rewrite in his arms, I won't focus. And I think fighting sleep and my baby, I'm on one. I won't give it up that easy, I won't give it up at all. Sometimes it feels like the earth that he breaks and slides down the back of my skin. I'm sweating off his kind-hearted gestures, keep going unrequited. I don't know why it is that I can't say I care in my own head. I don't think he gets that I just don't connect to him or anyone I try. And I miss him, I need him more than just one night. But it's not right, so I won't say. Closer are my insides, he holds me so damn tight. I don't breathe right in his arms, I won't focus. Now I think he can tell if I ain't sleeping, my baby, I'm unwell. I won't give it up, baby, I don't give it up, baby.
That was Annie Eve with Ropes on Leeds Student Radio. This is Charlie on Seasonal Soundbites. It's almost the end of the show. Don't know how that happened so quickly. But before we go, I just want to leave you guys with a very lovely summery tune. This is from their local Leeds band called Chroma Vista. And this is one of their songs called Lucky Days.
Too much to bear.